A new study shows that nighttime light pollution makes landscapes and forests less effective at absorbing CO2. Could the solution be as easy as flipping a switch? InfoTrack's Roy Mackey has the story. Roy?
Thank you, Chris. Our guest is Dr. Alice Johnston, Senior Lecturer in Environmental Data Science at Cranfield University in the United Kingdom. Professor, let's start with the basics of your study. I understand you looked at the effect of artificial light at night, such as streetlights, and those lights' effects on the environment. Tell us the highlights of what your study found.
I guess the headline is quite simple, really. Brighter nights lead to more carbon being released at the ecosystem scale with no increase in photosynthesis. So that means that more carbon is being released at night without a relative intake in carbon. So ecosystems lose more carbon and don't make up for that during the day. That means they're less effective as natural carbon sink, and it's really the first clear evidence at these large scales, so across two continents, that light pollution is shifting how ecosystems breathe.
Do you have a theory as to why carbon is affected by artificial light at night?
Most organisms run on internal clocks, and darkness really tells plants to slow down, diurnal animals rest and soils cool. The artificial light is interrupting those natural signals. And even very low light can keep plants slightly more active overnight. And for animals, it disrupts feeding, movement, and interactions. So a helpful analogy is human sleep. Anyone who's had a newborn baby knows what happens when you woken up every hour or every few hours if you were lucky. Your whole rhythm goes out of a window and your metabolism changes. And that's what artificial light does to ecosystems. It keeps them slightly awake all night, and that extra activity shows up as more carbon being released.
Was there anything in your study that was particularly surprising to you?
Well, I guess just how widespread and how consistent this effect was. So we found that it didn't really matter which continent we were looking at. It didn't really matter about the different ecosystem types. So whether we were looking at forests, croplands, or grasslands, we found this consistent effect of artificial light. So more intense artificial light exposure, increasing ecosystem respiration without that increase in photosynthesis.
Are there any areas of the planet that experience the greatest effects from this increasing amount of nighttime light?
I would love to be able to tell you that. Unfortunately, the eddy covariance flux towers that we use to take these measurements, they do tend to be quite biased towards dark sky regions globally. So that's why we chose to focus in on this study in Europe and North America, because they're were eddy covariance flux tower size, which measure carbon fluxes in the atmosphere at local scales. And they were really restricted to high artificial light at night exposure in Europe and North America. So we had to restrict our analysis only to Europe and North America. And we can't really say what's happening in other parts of the world, unfortunately.
Is there any sort of a threshold of nighttime brightness beyond which ecosystems show major changes, or is any artificial illumination enough to create these effects that you measured?
Yeah, so we found these effects even in moderate artificial light at night intensity sites, not only just, you know, those high intensity sites. So anything that wasn't a dark sky area, we were really seeing this effect.
Is there any part of the ecosystem that is especially vulnerable to this? Forests or grasslands or maybe the edges of urban areas that are most affected by this?
I mean, in this study, we were quite restricted by the resolution of the data sets that we had. So the satellite data that measures artificial light at night intensity is restricted to around a kilometer. And that means that we weren't really looking at that high resolution, high spatial resolution to investigate very localized effects. So So really, this is an emerging research field. There's lots of research gaps that I think, you know, now that we have this new evidence that there is this widespread effect, we can really start to investigate where and how artificial light is affecting different ecosystems. So for example, whether artificial light in winter is much more detrimental than in summer.
Your study emphasizes that artificial light at night is something unlike other things that affect the climate. It's something that's uniquely reversible. What are the simplest, most cost-effective lighting changes that cities and communities can adopt right away?
Yeah, so I think the important thing is that this is one of the easiest environmental problems to fix. So good lighting design includes using warmer color LEDs, so going away from those white blue lights, shielding lights so that they shine downward, dimming or switching lights off when they're not needed, and then there's using motion sensors instead of all-night illumination. And, you know, these changes save money as well. They reduce energy use and they're going to protect wildlife and help ecosystems maintain that natural carbon balance.
Are there any other lessons to be learned from your study?
Tackling light pollution really brings these multiple benefits at once: lower energy bills, healthier ecosystems, more stable carbon cycling. So it's a rare, quick win-win. There's emerging evidence that there's also positives for public health. So I think it's really an emerging field of research where we do need to fill in a lot of gaps so that we can inform policymakers, we can inform those smart lighting designs. To put it simply, there's a lot of research gaps that we need to address in the future.
Dr. Alice Johnston from Cransfield University in the United Kingdom, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
That wraps up this episode of InfoTrack. InfoTrack's executive producer is Randy Meyer, and I'm your host, Chris Whitting. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us next time for another InfoTrack broadcast.